Welcome to the Thursday, June 20th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a podcast that is dedicated to prayer, devotion, scripture reading, Bible study, and anything else I want to talk about. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. There's a lot of great listening over there, over 60 well-curated podcasts, wide variety of topic areas, all covered from a biblical worldview. My brothers and sisters in Christ over there doing some wonderful work for the kingdom. I would definitely encourage you to get on over there. I will guarantee you, you're going to find something over there you want to listen to. And there's a very good chance, and I say this from experience, you're going to find more over there to listen to than you actually have time to listen to it in. All right. Well, we're going to be continuing on with our Bible reading again through the month of June. I'm just going to be doing the Bible reading. I do want to remind you, our conference is coming up. We're closing up on a month till the conference. Conference is August 8th through the 10th at Vail Valley Baptist Church here in Vail, Arizona. You can find out about it by going to vvb.church. Right there on our homepage, you will see the flyer for it. Click on the flyer. It'll take you to the registration page, but it's also an informational page. You can also find it by going to strivingforeternity.org/Vail, V-A-I-L. Either of those will get you there. Again, it's $45 a person. Which, if you know anything about conferences at all, particularly these preaching conferences, believe me, $45 per person is a steal. You will not find one cheaper than that. It's completely worth it. And honestly, you can't afford not to go to our conference. The title for it is Christian Responsibility in an Unchristian World. And that's what we're walking through. You and I need guidance. And these guys are going to be guiding from the scripture. I mean, that's their whole purpose. They're going to be guiding us from the scripture as to what our responsibility is, how we are supposed to walk in this unchristian world. And we need to know. So again, as I said, we cannot afford to miss this conference. Now, I've already got my tickets. It's time for you to get yours. All right. Well, let's go ahead and let's jump in. We're going to go ahead and open up with the fifth day morning prayer. It's called The Giver. Let's pray. Creator, upholder, and proprietor of all things, we cannot escape from thy presence and control, nor do we desire to do so. Our privilege is to be under the agency of thy omnipotence, righteousness, wisdom, patience, mercy, and grace. For thou art love with more than parental affection. We admire thy goodness, stand in awe of thy power, abase ourselves before thy purity. It is the discovery of thy goodness alone that can banish our fear. Allure us into thy presence, help us to bewail and confess our sins. We review our past guilt and are conscious of present unworthiness. We bless thee that thy steadfast love and attributes are essential to our happiness and hope. Thou hast witnessed us thy grace and mercy in the bounties of nature, in the fullness of thy providence, in the revelations of Scripture, in the gift of thy Son, in the proclamation of the gospel. Make us willing to be saved in thy own way, perceiving nothing in ourselves but all in Jesus. Help us not only to receive him, but to walk in him, depend upon him, commune with him, follow him as dear children, imperfect but still pressing forward, not complaining of labor but valuing rest, not murmuring under trials but thankful for our state, and by so doing let us silence the ignorance of foolish men. Amen. All right. Well, our devotion for today from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, the text for it is from Amos 9:9. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. Every sifting comes by divine command and permission. Satan must ask leave before he can lay a finger upon Job. Nay, more, in some sense, our siftings are directly the work of heaven. For the text says, I will sift the house of Israel. Satan, like a drudge, may hold the sieve, hoping to destroy the corn. But the overruling hand of the master is accomplishing the purity of the grain by the very process which the enemy intended to be destructive. Precious but much sifted corn of the Lord's floor, be comforted by the blessed fact that the Lord directeth both flail and sieve to his own glory and to thine eternal profit. the Lord Jesus will surely use the fan which is in his hand, and will divide the precious from the vile. All we not Israel that are of Israel, the heap on the barn floor is not clean provender, and hence the winnowing process must be performed. In the sieve, true weight alone has power. Husks and chaff, being devoid of substance, must fly before the wind, and only solid corn will remain. Observe the complete safety of the Lord's wheat. Even the least grain has a promise of preservation. God himself sifts, and therefore it is stern and terrible work. He sifts them in all places, among all nations. He sifts them in the most effectual manner, like as corn is sifted in a sieve. And yet for all this, not the smallest, lightest, or most shriveled grain is permitted to fall to the ground. Every individual believer is precious in the sight of the Lord. A shepherd would not lose one sheep, nor a jeweler one diamond, nor a mother one child, nor a man one limb of his body, nor will the Lord lose one of his redeemed people. However little we may be, if we are the Lord's, we may rejoice that we are preserved in Christ Jesus. All right. And our reading for today, hang on a minute, I need a drink of water here. All right, much better. Let's see, our reading for today is Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, but I prefer Song of Songs, 7 and 8, Psalm 127, and 2 Thessalonians 2. All right, so Song of Songs, chapter 7. How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O noble's daughter! The curves of your thighs are like ornaments, the work of the hands of an artist. Your navel is like a round basin, which never lacks mixed wine. Your belly is like a heap of wheat, encircled with lilies. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. Your neck is like a tower of ivory. Your eyes like the pools in Heshbon. By the gate of Beth-Rabin, your nose is like the tower of Lebanon, which faces toward Damascus. Your head crowns you like Carmel, and the flowing locks of your head are like purple threads. The king is captivated by your tresses. How beautiful and how pleasant you are, my love, with all your pleasures. Your stature is like a palm tree, and your breasts are like its clusters. I said I will climb the palm tree. I will seize its fruit stalks. Oh, may your breasts be like clusters of the vine, and the fragrance of your breath like apples, and your mouth like the best wine. It goes down smoothly for my beloved, flowing gently through the lips of those who fall asleep. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. Come, my beloved, let us go out into the fields. Let us spend the night in the villages. Let us rise early and go to the vineyards. Let us see whether the vine has flourished, and its blossoms have opened, and whether the pomegranates have bloomed. There I will give you my love. The mandrakes have given forth fragrance, and over our doors are all choice fruits, both new and old, which I have treasured up for you, my beloved. Song of Songs 8. Oh, that you were like a brother to me, who nursed at my mother's breasts. If I found you outside, I would kiss you. No one would despise me either. I would lead you and bring you into the house of my mother, who used to teach me. I would give you spiced wine to drink from the sweet wine of my pomegranates. Let his left hand be under my head, and his right hand embrace me. I call you to solemnly swear, O daughters of Jerusalem. Why should you arouse or awaken my love until she pleases? Who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Beneath the apple tree I awakened you. There your mother was in labor with you. There she was in labor and gave you birth. Put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death. Jealousy is as severe as Sheol. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of Yah. Many waters cannot quench love, nor will rivers overflow it. If a man were to give all the riches of his house for love, it would be utterly despised. We have a little sister, and she has no breasts. What shall we do for our sister on the day when she is spoken for? If she is a wall, we will build on her a battlement of silver. But if she is a door, we will barricade her with planks of cedar. I was a wall, and my breasts were like towers. Then I became in his eyes as one who finds peace. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Harmon. He gave the vineyard to caretakers. Each one was to bring 1,000 shekels of silver for its fruit. My very own vineyard is before me. The 1,000 shekels are for you, Solomon, and 200 are for those who take care of its fruit. O you who sit in the gardens, my companions are giving heed to your voice. Let me hear it. Hurry, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of spices. Psalm 127, A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless Yahweh builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless Yahweh watches the city, the watchman keeps awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early, that you sit out late, O you who eat the bread of painful labors, for in this manner he gives sleep to his beloved. Behold, children are an inheritance of Yahweh. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with enemies in the gate. 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we ask you, brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken in your mind or be alarmed, whether by a spirit or a word or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it has not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the sanctuary of God, exhibiting himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming, whose coming is in accord with the working of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of unrighteousness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. And for this reason God sends upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in unrighteousness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may obtain the glory of your Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or mouth or by letter from us. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, encourage your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. Amen. All right, well, that is our reading for today. Again, another short day worth of reading. But again, I continue to pray that our time there in the Word helps us to stay fully saturated in the Word of God. But I would encourage you, I would actually beg you that you be in even further reading than what we've just done, and you be in study and meditation of the Word. Please, please, please do so. All right. Well, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God, and I hope to see you tomorrow morning. We are going to go ahead and close out with the fifth day evening prayer. It's called Protection. Let's pray. O Lord God, thou art our preserver, governor, savior, and coming judge. Quieten our souls to call upon thy name. Detach us from the influence of the flesh and the senses. Impress us with the power of faith. Promote in us spirituality of mind that will render our services acceptable to thee and delightful and profitable to ourselves. Bring us into that state which attracts thine eye and prepare us to receive the proofs of thy love. Show us our danger that we may flee to thee for refuge. Make us sensible of our sin's disease that we may value the good physician. Placard us the cross that it may slay the enmity of our hearts. Help us to be watchful over our ways, jealous over our tempers, diligent over our hearts. When we droop, revive us. When we loiter, quicken us. When we go astray, restore us. Possess us with more of that faith which is the principle of all vital godliness. May we be rich in faith, be strong in faith, live by faith, walk by faith, experience the joy of faith, do the work of faith, hope through faith, perceiving nothing in ourselves, may we find in the Savior wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Have a good day. God bless.